Greetings tonight in Jesus' name. Good to be gathered here again for another service tonight. And trusting that God will meet with us again and give us a blessing from God. I'd like to announce at this time that Eugene and Rhoda Martin are blessed with a little son, Tyler Eugene, 7 pounds, 9 ounces this morning. Bless the Lord. Also like to give testimony to the message this morning. That led to my conversion, Brother Denny. Brother Denny was preaching to those of you who weren't here this morning on knowing God. And I remember I didn't know a lot about the Scripture. There's just many things that I wasn't well versed in the Bible. Didn't spend a lot of time reading it in my young years. But I knew one thing that Jesus said, "Depart from me, you never knew me." And I figured out that if I'd learned to know Him, I wouldn't hear those words. And I went to a revival meeting, and here walks a Christian up to me and said, "Do you know the Lord?" What an inspiration to get converted. And I remember very clearly that I decided, well, that's one thing I want to know, and I want to know right. I want to know Him. I just want to know Him. And this is now about 33 or 5 years later, and I still am trying to know Him better and still want to know Him more as time goes on. Bless the Lord. But that's it. Knowing God. That is the whole thing in a nutshell of the Christian life. All right, this evening, I recognize that some of you may consider this kind of a repeat from me, and yet I'm trying to go a little bit of a different direction than I have before. But I'd like to speak on occultic oppression and bondage. One of the reasons for this is because I tend to repeat messages like this most other places and not here. And I also know that a lot of new people have come in here in the past year. Sad to say they're not all here tonight. But at the same time, I do recognize that this is something that from time to time we need to look at locally here in our own midst. It is an ever-increasing and ever-expanding matter that lies before us. It is totally impossible for us to ignore it. It is expanding in the United States and Great Britain, and I believe in most of the world, at what I believe to be an unprecedented rate, of which that if you have never had much contact with it, I'll assure you that if you live another 10 or 20 years, you will have. Last week, I got a little news clipping somewhere in a paper that showed us that teaching creationism was outlawed in Pittsburgh. It went before a federal judge or a state judge, perhaps, and he outlawed it. No, you don't. You're not allowed to teach about the characters of Noah and Abraham and people like that in school. But I will tell you what is allowed there. You can have any Eastern religion you ever want to hear of or lay your eyes on come into a public school and tell you all about that and all of the children. You can have Indians come in there and some Indian medicine man and tell you exactly how to cast a spell and how to perform witchcraft. You can have a Satanist come in and tell you all about Satanism. But you can't talk about Noah, and you can't talk about Jesus, and you can't talk about the Apostle Paul. That is the level of degeneracy of which our nation has come to. And like I say, this is growing at such a rate that all of us seem to have to deal with it in one way or another. Pulpit's a little dry here tonight. I think we must have forgot something here. All right, let us turn our Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. I hope it won't be dry, though. when we preach the word. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, or other translations there would say doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving, giving thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. This tells us that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times this should happen. Men would depart from the faith, and they would give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and that's primarily what we're talking about. We believe that that's occultic. We believe that's demonic. We believe that's of the devil. We believe it's false religion and false prophecy. And for that reason, we recognize that according to this scripture, that in the latter times, this would increase and continue to expand itself across the earth. And that is exactly the fulfillment that we are seeing. Now, the word occultism, or just looking at the phrase of occultism here, it means participation or involvement in any way with fortune-telling, magic practices, spiritism, or false religious cults and teachings. And I think we have to say tonight that there are multitudes of people, and I mean multitudes, Christian and non-Christian alike, that are somewhat affected, more or less. Hopefully we could say that, truly, that the non-Christian more and the Christian less, but we still would have to say more or less are affected by this matter. And many people, and including the Christians, suffer physical, mental, and spiritual oppression because of a former involvement, an involvement of a parent or a close, or maybe a grandparent or some ancestor in their background. They are psychically oriented or occultically oppressed. We find that many times. And the reason why that Christians are affected by this, I'm not sure we can clearly say why that not all of that drops off at conversion, but one of the main reasons is the fact that it was not properly repented of many times, and also another thing we would say, our level of repentance in general in America is too low or too cheap. And there is not enough a travailing time given to all of our souls who, when we are converted, recognize the implications of these things and that it is something that must be parted of, on our knees before God and wrestled over and renounced and given to the Lord and repented of. And so most of the time we just kind of generalize in our confession and try and accept the Lord as our Savior without giving specific attention to what we've done and what we've been in. And therefore we are a Christian. It seems like we've gone through some changes. Yes, we believe in Jesus, but we still are oppressed many times by the occult or satanic influence and oppression of some kind. Now, I probably not so much possession. I do not at this point necessarily see that Christians can be possessed. I do not understand it that way, but yet have some influence or some bondage or some oppression from the occult due to former involvements. Now let us turn to Deuteronomy 18. This is certainly an age-old thing in the Word of God. And we'll read 9 through 12. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive thee out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. That gives you a little bit of an idea of what the Lord thought about this, and how that was the reason that Israel was not allowed to dwell alongside of the Canaanites. This is a sin that we're speaking of tonight, or sins that are bad enough that the earth will vomit out its inhabitants if they practice them. That's pretty bad, but that's the way it is. Over in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Chapter 20 of Leviticus, verse 6, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. And then if we could go to Isaiah, I believe it is, yes, chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob. Why did you forsake them? Well, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. And then over in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19, when they shall say unto you, seek not unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and mutter, or that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living unto the dead, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. And down in verse 22 it says, and they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Now this gives, and then over in the New Testament I could refer to a few there, but you all know what the story is of Simon the sorcerer who tried to buy the power of the Holy Ghost from the apostles, and what kind of an answer and a treatment they got when he wanted to mix that along with his sorcery. Which an awful lot of people are trying to do the same thing, and somehow they don't have enough of a prophet or an apostle among them to make the clear distinction between the two, like Peter did. But and then also in Galatians chapter 5, it is clearly one of the works of the flesh, and is called there witchcraft, which I think in Deuteronomy chapter 18, that would lump up the whole sum there. Witchcraft, or the craft of witches. The Greek word pharmakia, or meaning drugs to cast a spell, or to attain an altered state of consciousness. Now, we could ask ourselves 100 whys as to why that this has happened like it has in our country, why that the churches have to deal with it today, and there are many answers. I probably will not be able to give them all. But I do believe from the time that the first Anabaptists sailed for America until now, there has been some of this very same, this phenomena has been active among the people. And I believe it has to do a lot with the same condition of Israel back in Saul's time. Saul, he was upset. He was the king of Israel. He was the man of God. But heaven was shut, and he wouldn't talk anymore, and he didn't get any word from the Lord. And it's because of that he resorted to the witch of Endor to try to find out what he wanted to know. And the reason was because he was in such a spiritual coldness, and such a spiritual lethargy, and such sin in his life, that God wouldn't talk to him anymore, so he resorted to the witch of Endor. And I believe it is the same way tonight in the lives of many religious groups, religious people, as they are not getting the voice of the Lord concerning the needs or the questions that they have, or perhaps for the physical healing and anointing of oil that they should be getting by the laying on of hands, and therefore they are resorting to these kind of things in order to heal their bodies, or in order to get touched, or in order to get to learn the unknown, or something like that, which they should never dabble in. But King Saul, that was his complaint when he came over to the witch. Well, God, he doesn't hear me anymore. And for that reason, he resorted to the witch of Endor and to try to bring up Samuel and to get an answer for his problems. Now, we'd like to go through these in Deuteronomy 18 and just identify them. Some of them are kind of big words, and they need a bit of explanation to what some of these things might mean. But as I look over them and study them in the Hebrew, I would have to say there is nothing new under the sun. Just like it was so interesting to me recently to learn that most of the strange phenomena that we have among our land of in some of the charismatic experiences that people, or the strange phenomena that people are experiencing, I said to a few people recently, there's nothing new under the sun. This has all happened in years gone by, and all you get is repeats through life. And that's the way it is with this. All right, the first one is passing through the fire. Now, there's a little bit of a discrepancy of what that was, but it is thought to be some kind of a dedication to Moloch, or the passing through the fire in some kind of a dedication of a child to Moloch. Now, some would feel that it's a human sacrifice, a child sacrifice, but I would differ a bit with that, because Hezekiah's father passed him through the fire and he lived and became to be the king of Israel. So I would rather think it was some kind of a ceremony to try to get the blessings of Moloch on their lives. So thou shalt not have a son or a daughter to pass through the fire. Perhaps we don't know what that is today necessarily, but let's go on. The next one is divination. Now that means a mystic insight or fortune-telling or stargazing. What it was primarily was to learn the unknown. Divination was to divine. You might be interested to know, some of you, that divination, one of the explanations for the word divination is using the lot. Using the lot. Now, in the ancient heathen nations, they would use arrows. They would look in a liver. They had a certain name for that. And that's even mentioned in the Bible about those that look into the liver. They would take the liver of an animal and look into it and try to discern or to divine certain things that were to come to pass. Or whether to make war or not, they'd bring up a man who would do something with arrows, or look into a liver, or look into the stars and to try to divine by the powers of the stars or astrology. Divination. It's a very broad term and is again used today. Today it's more or less used as water divining or sickness divining or fortune divining, and rods are used, metal rods, wooden sticks or fork branches of trees, peach or cherry or something like that, or a pair of pliers, that is all used to divine. Pendulums are used, fingernail clippers on strings, and what have you, to try to discern the unknown, whether it be the sex of an unborn child, whether it be how many children you're going to have, whether it be who you're going to marry, this girl or that girl. Those are things that people give themselves into in order to discern or to determine the unknown. Divination, an abomination in the land. The next one is observer of times. Now this means, according to the Hebrew as I understand, to foretell by signs or omens, or again, by stars or meteors or those other things called that have a tail and fly through the heavens? Comets, yes. That's usually a bad omen or a bad sign. And so, but I also think it means observer of signs, in which we observe the signs of the moon and plant by them and try to put our fence posts in by them and put our shingles on our roof by them and so on. I'm the observer of times, and there's a lot of that still going on, and much has been going on in our ancestry here in Lancaster County, observing of times. Certain times to do this and certain times to do that. The next one we have here is an enchanter. This means magical arts or hypnotism. Next one we have is a witch. This means dealing in evil spirits. And then we have a charmer, which means one who casts spells. Then we have familiar spirits, and that is simply demons or impersonators that would impersonate your grandfather or your great-grandfather or the king or someone else, and it would only be a demon or an evil spirit that would do it. Next one we have is wizard. This is simply a male witch who practices witchcraft or someone similar to that. And then we have necromancer, which is one who tries or attempts or at least claims to communicate with the dead. Like the witch at Endor did, she, in calling up Samuel, practiced necromancy, or the practice of trying to communicate with the dead to find something out. Now, some modern-day practices that we want to look at, but first of all, we recognize that, innocent or not, this evening we have to understand that any kind of dabbling with the occult opens a door in your and my life for an occultic oppression or an occultic hindrance in our lives. We dabble with the occult, we are curious and are driven by our curiosity, and therefore dabble with these kind of things, and then the next thing you know, there is an occultic oppression upon us, a darkness, and I'll go through some of these things that the phenomena that happen in our lives because of it later, but I just want to mention that now, that's what it comes from. And some of the modern day practices that we could all fit underneath these headings are palm reading. The reading of a palm, which is done. Many palm readers set up practices around the country to read your palm and foretell your fortune. And then other methods of fortune telling by tarot cards or tea leaves, crystal balls, Ouija boards, etc., etc., etc. It doesn't matter what the object is. Some psychic will sit there and use something to try to determine and foretell your future and divine for you what you would like to know concerning it. The next one of the modern-day practices that is very dangerous is occultic games. And these are ever-increasing, and I have no idea how many of them are coming out in the store every year, but they pass me up because I don't go looking at games, and there are always new ones coming out that I don't know anything about until maybe a couple years down the road. But we have Ouija boards, ESP, telepathy, horoscope, clairvoyant, voodoo, Dungeons and Dragons, and a host of other things that are games where you play occultic games. On top of that, we have occultic movies, occultic books, occultic television shows, and of course, many other methods of learning these things, which young people are drawn in and innocently, supposedly, are just supposed to go along with it and play with it and have a seance or something at an overnight party, and the next thing we know, they are occultically oppressed and are in bondage to it, and they don't have the faintest idea how to get out of it. That's the saddest part. The next one is divining again. We now have divining for water, divining for oil or minerals by a fork, stick, pair of rods, a pair of pliers, etc. And once again, it is still divination like it was in the Old Testament, but it's to search the unknown. One is always interested at the fact that people say, well, it's just electricity in your body. But I'll explain a little bit on that later. But there is much dividing. Some of it is to find water pipes, sewer pipes, drainage pipes underground, and how deep the water is, and so on. And people practice this and are regular practitioners and go around spotting wells for people all the time. Seances, or communication with the dead, or spirit guides is another one. Many people play seances at overnight parties. Girls tend into that an awful lot. And at times, if you get a powerful enough group together, we'll call up a spirit and everybody will experience a horrible night and a terrible scare, and some of them will never be the same again. Unless they find the Lord Jesus Christ and deliverance in Him. Communication with the dead or spirit guides. One of the popular New Age practices today is spirit guides. Supposed to be a little spirit sits on your shoulder or walks around behind you or beside you and whispers in your ear and tells you what to do and what not to do, and you get all your direction from it. People have lived with these for 15 and 20 and 25 years, have gotten all their direction to them, from them. There are women, their husband tells them what to do, they check with their spirit guide whether it's okay or not. And the spirit guide will tell them yay or nay. And they listen to the spirit guide before they'll listen to their husband and many other people with an employer or so on. They simply worship that thing. All it is again a demon who is coming to a person's life and has a grip and a hold on that individual through some occultic involvement, and therefore continues to carry the individual with them, or the spirit guide with them, the rest of their life. Another one is levitation or table tipping, automatic writing, hypnosis, ESP. All of those things are very prevalent today. Even in our local setting here, as one of the brethren here gave an account just recently, how that they hypnotized a young man at a local plain church on a Sunday afternoon, and he went wild and ran into the pig pen, got himself all messed up in his Sunday clothes, and it took him quite a while to try to wake the guy up and get him back to his senses. And there are some of those that never come back in a right way and end up in an insane asylum, and nobody knows what to do with them. But the psychologists and psychiatrists just figure out that something is wrong chemically, and he has a chemical imbalance in his brain, and that's what happened to him. Another area of problem in our day is occultic healing. Powwowing is an age-old one, I think, borrowed from the Indians, or learned from the Indians, and our people, our ancestors, quickly picked it up when they immigrated here from Europe, probably from the Indians, and maybe they already did it in Germany and Switzerland, I'm not sure, but at least it was here to stay and has been here through all the generations of the Plain people and many other people, and is still going on today. And it is a very, very potent form of witchcraft, of which those that are involved in it and their children, grandchildren, and many times great-grandchildren are occultically affected by it and cannot live a normal life because of it unless they get cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Another one is the use of a pendulum. That's used by anything from Amish practitioners to some of the most potent New Agers around. Using a pendulum to find out what's wrong with you, to find out what's good for you, to find out what your diseases are, and all those kind of things. Either anything from a watch on a string to a little chain or something of that sort. Then there is trance diagnosis. I just want to read you a little portion in a book here on Edgar Casey. He was a man who was very prevalent in this and started out as a professing Christian, but just to show you how these things can go. He is a class, Edgar Casey is a classic example, a grandson of a dowser. He was a very active member in a Christian church to which he belonged and eventually became a Sunday school teacher. He was a diligent Bible reader and developed the habit of reading through the Bible each year. I wonder what he did with these verses. He continued to do so faithfully for 46 years until he died in 1944 at the age of 67. He was a gentleman who devoted much of his life to meeting the needs of others. In many ways, he was a modern-day Good Samaritan. He was even a prominent leader in Alabama's Christian Endeavor organization. But something went terribly wrong. At the same time, he was attending church, reading his Bible faithfully, and giving the appearance of being a staunch Christian. He was practicing his occult gifts. He first displayed his psychic abilities at the age of 7. And over the years, one occult ability followed another. The fact that he was only 7 years old gives us a clue of the fact that he was the grandfather of the grandson of a dowser, and therefore probably received his powers ancestral rather than anything that he committed at age 7. Casey became known as the Sleeping Prophet because of his amazing ability to diagnose and cure illnesses. When a person would come for help, Casey would go into a trance for a few moments. After 4 and 5 seconds, he was able to tell the patient with incredible accuracy the nature of his disease and the prescription needed to cure it. In some cases, he would heal the person on the spot by means of mental suggestion. Over the years, he went into something like 25,000 trances and healed thousands of people. Most of his work is even documented without a shadow of a doubt. And we would like to say one of the reasons we're against this is not because it's a farce and that because it doesn't work. We're not arguing the fact that it doesn't work. We're saying it may well work just like it did in Egypt years ago, but it's not right and God's against it. If a Christian is aware of his psychic powers, he needs to throw himself before God, renounce these abilities, and plead for deliverance. A good book, a little book on dowsing that I picked up some time ago. Trance diagnosis, drawing pain. Brother Denny and I just dealt with one in Tennessee where they put a baby into their stomach and drew all the pain of a colic baby out into themselves and could feel it in their own tummy after they held the baby there for a while. How can they do this? What enables them to do it? They are psychically oriented already by having dabbled in witchcraft in their past, or else their parents have, or grandparents. Radionics, or the black box, is another very prevalent way to heal mankind. That is in circulation in the United States, or to kill the bugs in your alfalfa patch, or practically any other thing that you want to do with it. Homeopathy is another one, or homeopathic medicine. This is also a very prevalent one and very subtle, and it is extremely difficult to find doctors today, general practitioners of simple origin, or home practitioners that do not in some way sell or deal in homeopathic medicine. But just showing from a little book on the historical use series, Homeopathy, What Is It?, given out by a local practitioner in Lebanon County. It says here very clearly that it works with nature's healing force, prana, chi, and kundalini. Kundalini means demon of the spine. Prana and chi are both oriental, new age terms that are used very heavily in all of their beliefs and practices, and this is just one that is came in here with the name homeopathy, and it sounds like a down-home simple remedy of some kind that is supposed to cure our diseases, when instead it is a New Age medicine that claims its power given to it by cutting and diluting and then shaking it in your hand, somehow puts the power into it. And again, we're not arguing with the fact that it never works. We're just simply saying that the source is wrong and God says don't do it. Those things, it's an abomination to Him And it's for this reason that the Canaanites had to be driven out and killed, because they were involved in these kind of abominations, and God didn't want His people to have any connection with them. None whatsoever. Another one is psychic healing. And this has many different dimensions, but there are, you can go to a psychic healer today who tries to heal you by mind powers, or think yourself well, or something of that nature, which is again wrong. Yin and Yang, which is a male and female Chinese god. We have a fellow out of in the Midwest who sleeps north and south in order for his health, and believes it's documented by science. I would challenge him on that. Reflexology, once again, is in the New Age camp, and is also involved in these curious arts. It's a curious art without a doubt. Iridology, muscle testing, and all of these things, and I probably missed a whole host of them, but this gives you a little idea of the occultic healing that is taking place all over our local county here, both Lancaster and Lebanon. And those that give themselves to these things, once again, Christian or non-Christian, often come home with some kind of an occultic oppression. And like you say, all the devil can do, he can't truly heal. He just gives you a trade-off. He might take the wart off of your hand or off of your face, but you end up with some other problem somewhere, and it might be emotional, and it might be spiritual, and there may be a darkness upon you, but your wart's gone. But there is a poor trade and a poor business to devil and to try to trade with the devil. It never comes out right, because he openeth not the house of his prisoners. Now, another chapter of this is the occultic oppression and religious oppression seem also to be connected. And this is one I just constantly watch. Everywhere I go, and we have weeks of meetings, I always watch for this one. Because in every case about that I know, the darker the people, the more occultic practices among them. The darker the religion, the more occult is among them. They practice it without batting an eye. The more light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, any people, the more enlightenment there is concerning the occult, and the more putting it away, renouncing it, and getting free from it. And those two work that way nationwide. And you can go into some of the plainest groups, and some of them where the religious heaviness and darkness is. They will have open fortune telling. I could take you places where that happens. Black boxes, radionics, doing all kinds of strange phenomena right in the midst, approved by the ministry, no scruples about it, everything is just left go. And the reason is because the same devil that's behind occultic oppression is behind spiritual darkness. And we need to wake up and to recognize that. And I'm not saying that all plainness or extra plainness is occultically dark, but many times occultic darkness can be very plain. I'll say it that way. I give them as cousins. One of the things you notice, a people who are into this, they are exceptionally dark. They are exceptionally sad. There is little joy among them. Another thing is they tend to, this thing has a heavy grip upon them, and they are held in that grip. There is heavy, high-handed, hierarchical oversight upon those churches, to which the people are kept in fear. That belongs in the devil's camp. In Jesus Christ, there is a liberty. If the Spirit of the Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And if the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. But not so in those who dabble in occultic practices, those preachers, those leaders, they are very much to have a strong authority and preach submission in great length. And then also another thing you notice is that they have no assurance of salvation. Little or none assurance of salvation amongst those that dabble heavily in the occult. Now, where does all this come from? Let us turn to Exodus chapter 6, verse 12. Just to give you an account here that so clearly shows you a little bit how the two work, or how it works alongside of the power of God. Reading verse 10. Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments, and they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. Now that shows you where it comes from. It is the power of the opposite power against God in the earth, which is the power of the devil. It's the power of Satan and his kingdom. And it shows you that even though it's powerful, even though it performs miracles, even though the magicians could throw their rods down and they became serpents too, but Aaron's rods swallowed up their rods. And that is the way it is. Even though it's miraculous, even though it's powerful, even though there are strange phenomena, and you can see all kinds of sights, fearful sights and wonders by it, nevertheless, it is a lower power than the power of God. And God's power will and shall overcome all occultic power. But it is a power, and it's a power to be reckoned with, and it's a power to deal with and to understand where it comes from. Satan is the great imitator, and he imitates as much as he can. And that's why it takes spiritual discernment to determine it. But I would also say all of the hosts of heaven, as far as Satan and his fallen angels, are involved in this craft or in this work. Here in this case, he was able to duplicate about three of the plagues. And then all at once his power was gone and there were seven more. And that's always the way it is. He can go a little ways and can come up alongside a little bit and dazzle the people with a few sights. And then everything is gone and must fall down and cannot produce. And that's the way fortune telling is. Sometimes they hit it and sometimes they don't. And that's simply because they are not all knowing and they are not able to hit it with good accuracy. They do at times, but so does a guess. And other times they miss it completely. In fact, that's a sign of a false prophet if his prophecy doesn't come true. Now, like I said, where does all this come from? Well, three things that we notice is how people get drug into it. And there are a number more. I want to mention six of them, but especially the first three. It is that the reception of secret knowledge, unavailable through the five senses of the sight, and the ear, feeling, and smelling, and so on. It is the reception of secret knowledge. It is desire to know something that you don't know. And many times that is not given unto you to know. But you think through the dabbling of the occult, you might be able to learn to know it. The second reason for how people get bound in it, and that, by the way, with that unreasonable curiosity, people get drug into it. The second one is contacting the spirit world. Those people who contact the spirit world by a seance or some other ritual or to go see a palm reader or to go see a witch or a wizard, they are never the same. After they do that, for the most part, they are never the same. And by them contacting the spirit world, they get contaminated with the occult, and they are not the same. The third one is a desire for power. Many people have a desire for power. They have a desire to show something above the average. And because of that, they resort to occultic ways to have that power, and therefore get contaminated. My fourth point is, it comes by the laying on of hands of a psychic, as in dowsing. Dowsers know how to do it. They've done it for years. It's in all the books. I find it in confession and council rooms all the time, everywhere I go. Well, I was 7 or 8 years old, and we were at a family reunion, and Grandpa's a water witcher, and you know, we wanted to try it, and so we took the fork in our hands, and nothing happened. And then Grandpa came up behind me and put his hands on my arms, and then the stick went down. I don't know how many times I've heard that, but the power is transmitted through the laying on of hands. And they are then psychically induced, and may I say, there is a new dowser is born that very minute. A new dowser is empowered. Now let's just stop, for instance, and look at the argument that, well, it's just electricity in your body. Well, you can get 220 volts and you can get 440 volts, but 5 minutes later, I can touch you and I don't get a charge out of it. You can get all that electricity, and that is high-powered stuff, and yet standing on the ground, you lose it the moment the disconnection is made, because the earth is ground to all flow electricities. But these boys claim through their electricity that they can find water 200 feet through the earth, which is ground to all electricity, and all we have in our body is a few millivolts. It only takes an eighth of an inch of earth to ground a millivolt. That's ridiculous. No, that's not electricity. It's dabbling in the occult. And let me tell you, on the matter of dowsing, all the witchcraft and occultic encyclopedias and books in the world will tell you water witching belongs to them. They all have it listed there. It's not electricity. It's not innocent. And it's not, well, people say, but Grandpa was a Christian. Grandpa was a good man. It doesn't matter how much good works that Grandpa did and where he went to church or what he believed in. If he could empower someone by the laying on of hands to make you able to douse for water, he is psychically endowed from an occultic power. And he has dabbled, or his father or his grandfather dabbled, and he has it, and now you've got it because he laid his hands on you until you come to Jesus Christ and repent of it and get cleaned up. Well, he always went to church, and I can't. We had a couple in our home some years ago who came, and they questioned me on that because I had preached it at some meetings way back 7, 8 years ago, and they wanted to know all about this and what do we believe. And I gave my story, and the lady there, the wife, her grandpa was one of these good grandpas, and she couldn't accept that, and I've never seen him back here again. She probably couldn't handle that verdict. Concerning her dear grandpa. And I realize that there are many dear grandpas involved in it who have been kind men and who we have enjoyed to be around, but nevertheless, they're wrong. They're in sin and they need to repent. If you have a grandpa like that, go see him and tell him what the Bible says concerning witchcraft. Another one is reading occultic books. Don't let your curiosity take you to those places and just see what they say and get involved in it. And therefore, in a weak moment of your own flesh, open your heart and pull a lot of it into your system. And then the sixth one is genetically or ancestrally transferred. Like I said with Edgar Cayce, whose grandpa was a dowser, he then was psychically oriented, and I've seen this as low as 5 and 6, and they haven't done anything. They're innocent children, but they are their father's son, and they are their grandpa's grandson, or their grandma's grandson or granddaughter, and they are psychically affected by ancestral or the transmission through genetically. They have what the dowser calls, you have the ability to do it. I can tell you can do it. The only reason you can do it and I can't do it is because you have in your ancestors those who have been psychically endowed. It's not electricity in the body. Our bodies are not batteries. And here's another reason it's not electricity that I miss. There's a lot of good dowsers do map dowsing. And that is, they stand in front of a map and they look for oil or minerals or water on a map. Or they'll take the print of a house. And if you've lost your pocketbook, and they'll say, well, in which room did you lose it? Well, I don't know. So they'll douse through all the map of the house. and then finally get a stick in a certain room, and then there's where they go look for it. There's no electricity involved in dousing over a map. And another interesting thing is, I want you to remind you that colonial America forbade it. This is a practice that colonial America forbade. And yet, the so-called Christians brought it into this country and secretly practiced it and passed it on to their sons and daughters. What a sad heritage that has been to our people. All right, now I want to give you some characteristics of dabbling in the occult for you to identify whether or not you have been psychically oriented or not. One of them is, if it works for you, or if you tried something and it worked for you, no doubt you have already dabbled sometime, or your parents or your grandparents did, and you need a time of cleansing, of renouncing and prayer concerning your those that dabbled ahead of you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and cleanse yourself from it. Here's the first one I would like to give mention to. There is times of prolonged depression or gloominess. No joy, no assurance, no peace. Those are things that go along with those that have dabbled in the occult. They have a prolonged depression or oppression about them. An extreme heaviness. Many describe it like this: I always had this thing, always held me back. Never could make progress in my Christian life. Never could get anywhere. Never could be joyful and exuberant and full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom and go witnessing and testifying and soul winning. I never could do those things. Always long-faced and low-key and depressed. Number two, unpredictable behavior. Never knowing what the individual's going to do next. Extremely flighty and unpredictable, given to delusions. Another one is uncontrolled passions and appetites. And I would say that compulsive eating, and also in areas of perverseness and perversions in sexuality, or uncontrolled appetites in sexuality, is another area. They are characteristics of dabbling in the occult. Uncontrollable. Driven. We hear those words many times by those who dabble in those things. I can't help myself. Something just drove me uncontrollably. If that's something that you have in your life and you aren't able to control yourself, you need to consider whether perhaps this is in your life or in your background. Uncontrollable temper. Hate. Fierce hate, fierce anger, wrathful, and you just fly off the handle and do damage. Tear up the house or throw things and destroy furniture. You can't stop yourself until you've done it. A sign of occultic involvement. Enslavement to drugs, alcohol, and again, compulsive eating. Chronic fear or anxieties and nervousness is another one. That driven by fear, as I had some time ago, a sister that came to me because she was just awfully fearful. Fearful all her life. Fearful in her childhood, and when she got married, nothing changed. And she had two children, and she was still fearful. When she found out that she was involved in occultic oppression, and she certainly was, and renounced that, it immediately left, and she hasn't had any of it since. Been set free by the power of Jesus Christ. And he'll set anyone free as they come to him with these things. Chronic fear or anxieties, nervousness. All right, abnormal desire for attention is also considered one who may have dabbled, filled with pride and wanting to be noticed in every area. Extreme negative personality. Another one. Everything is negative. Everything in life is on the negative side. Never have the brightness and the positiveness of life upon them. Thoughts or attempts of suicide or to destroy oneself. Many times a result of dabbling in the occult. In fact, you can trace what has happened to the professional dowsers in America, and they die before their time. They are wrecked and ruined and in the early years of maybe their 40s or 50s or low 60s because of the fact that they have dabbled in the occult and they end up in an insane asylum or in a frightful death of some kind. And many people who have dabbled have terrible thoughts and are driven to suicide. Possessions of psychic powers like extrasensory perception, and you're able to see things and sense things that the normal people don't see or sense. That is another one. And then blasphemous thoughts about God or the blood or the Bible is another one. Blasphemous thoughts about God, those things can likewise affect us. Well, now in closing, may we ask, may we say that there is an answer for all of this. And we want to talk about how to get free from these things. I have not been able to mention all of them, but I have given you an idea that surely if you have been involved, the Spirit of God should have alerted you to the fact of some of the things you have tried. And you say, well, I don't know if I'm affected by them or not. If you have no occultic oppressions in your life, and you got converted sometime, you can consider yourself free. I'm only talking to those who aren't free, those who have the oppression, those who have the appetites that they can't control, those who never did have assurance and a clarity of life, those who never renounced it, never repented, never looked at it. I'm talking to you tonight. You can get free from it in very simple manner, in a very simple manner. Because I want to tell you, this is why Jesus came. This is what He came for. To set the captive free. Those who have been taken at the devil's will and made captive. And we innocently played into it as a child or maybe had a dad or a grandfather who was involved. And we were psychically oriented from our youth and didn't know why. And the next thing we were dabbling in it. And then we met Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you that He is the answer for the occult. He is the answer for deliverance. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. And He will cut those chains of the occult off of you and set you free and let you go. How to get free? Well, the first thing is you need to recognize that you have a problem. You need to seek and understand and know that you have one. And if you have one, then you need to acknowledge that, because there are many that are oppressed, there are many vexed, there are many depressed, there are many bound, there are many not free in the Christian church today. They don't want to acknowledge it. They want to admit it. And if you're one of those that don't believe there can be any occultic oppression in Christians' lives, then you probably can't get free of yours. But when you understand that such a thing is possible, and you can repent of it and renounce it in Jesus' name, you can get free. My next point I'd like to make is repentance. We need to repent before God. We have sinned. Our fathers have sinned. Our grandfathers have sinned. And now we see the light. And we have the effect upon us. We must repent of it. And cut those ancestral bondages and those chains. And repent of the acts that we have done. And name them one by one and bring them before the Lord in true brokenness and recognizing that we have grieved God. Here we have been hanging on and practicing an abomination to the God of heaven. And we have dabbled in it for years and perhaps for decades. And now we finally recognize that things are not well with us. And we have phenomena in our life that cannot be explained. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden with these things, and I will give you rest." Repentance is the way out. Confess. Confess every form of it. Not a general confession. Not trying to push it all under the rug with, "Lord, forgive me, I haven't been the way I should have been." No. I have committed water dousing. I have played around with the Ouija board. I have done those things, Lord. I wish I never would have, but I did. I was at a seance one night. Dear God, forgive me for being in those things. Every form of the involvement. I have seen people who have wrestled around on the floor for a time on this until they could remember them. And the Spirit of God brought them all before their face, most of them. And maybe later on they thought of a few and they went to their closet and took care of them too. Because they wanted everything under the blood. They wanted no more effects of it. And that's what you need tonight if you have been involved in these things. Renounce it in Jesus' name and claim the blood of Jesus Christ for deliverance. That too is what is needed. And for many of you who have been deeply involved, it is good to have help. Good to have a brother or a sister or some spiritual authority around who can help you and pray for you and help you rebuke the devil and guide you through it so to make sure that everything gets taken care of. That's very important. But renounce it in Jesus' name. Say, I'm sick of it. I don't want any parts of you, Satan. Get behind me. Leave me alone. I don't want anything to do with your kingdom. You tricked me. You promised me healing and gave me an oppression. You promised me a world and gave me a desire to commit suicide or some other kind of thing that just drives me as some kind of an appetite that I can't control. And he is a liar. And he does trick people. And you need to tell him, leave me alone, I'm through. I give my life and heart and everything to Jesus Christ. And then confess faith in Christ. It is not enough just to try to get free from the occult. And that is why I tell people many times, you must fill your void. You must fill the empty vacuum in your life and open your heart and life to the presence of God. That's what we need. That will replace it. And by the way, that will help drive everything out when you fill yourselves with God and with the power of the Holy Ghost and a new life. Confess faith in Christ and yield yourself totally to Him. And for a person who has been involved in satanic activity and heavy witchcraft, there is little hope other than hot Christianity, other than getting on fire for God. Because the devil had you for so long and he's not ready to let you go. Some of these young men that flip-flop around after conversion, we well understand that. Because we know the war that's going on. And we are merciful because we know what they face. But the answer still is one way for those fellows. That's getting hot for God. And a sellout. This mediocre Christianity, that's not going to do. If you've been involved with the devil, if he's had you in your camp, and you have practiced witchcraft, no way. You need to get hot for God. And that is my plea to you tonight, even though I just, like I say, I know many of you have cleaned up already. Some of you have taken care of this years ago. I'm not speaking to you tonight. I'm speaking to those who perhaps have missed it, know that something's wrong, have come in here among us in recent years and have never heard a message on it. Those things have never been mentioned to you. We're speaking to you tonight or to anyone else who may have any specific need in your Christian life. The invitation is not closed. Maybe you want to just simply get converted and give your heart and life to God or get on fire for God. Even though you weren't involved in the occult, the invitation is wide enough for everyone who has a need. So we're going to sing an invitation hymn tonight. And if you have any need in this area at all in your life and you need someone to counsel with you, someone to pray with you, and you want to settle the matter tonight with the Lord in any area of need in your life, you just come forward, kneel up here, and somebody will go down and help you with it. Shall we sing?
Number
228. 228. God has spoken to your heart. You just come and give yourself to the Lord. Come. Just come.
Just as
Sing another verse. Anyone else? Come. If no one responds, we'll close. Responded, can go downstairs to the door here. Follow Brother Denny.
It's exciting to be rid of that burden. During the revivals, you know, I had confessed a lot of things, and I can see the difference. You know, what you preach tonight is true. I can tell the difference of the burden that's gone.
Amen.
You know, the insecurities. I haven't attained everything, but yet, you know, it's all that is so much easier and brighter,
yes.
And you know, it's just so true.
Yes.
And I guess the message is timely because either this last week or the week before, the Lord brought to my mind a situation that I was in when I was a teenager at somebody's house, and they had the cards and stuff, and I really cannot remember if it was done to me, but I remember wanting it to be done. And you know, He brought that to my mind,
yes.
And you know, and I want to be clear of that. And then tonight you mentioned something about Dungeons and Dragons, and I hadn't even thought about it for years, but I was exposed to that on the buses when we go on band trips.
Yes.
The boys, that's all they would do is play these games and, you know, and just really be into that. And I don't want that to have any, you know,
Amen.
Effect on my life either. And I just thank the Lord that I'm free from it. You know, Satan desired to have me,
yes.
But Jesus got me because of the prayers of my family and people, and I just am excited about that.
Amen. God bless you. Yes, Levi.
To that. This would be a very scary subject had it not been for the blood and the power of Jesus Christ that's available in our lives,
right.
Especially at this hour. But stuff that we see today, only 10 years ago, would have really shocked us.
Yes.
I don't know if you're aware of some of the toys, the books, and
yes.
the advertisements and stuff.
Yeah.
But I've noticed recently, I don't buy them, but you see an awful lot of comic books out there that are demonic anymore.
Yes, that's right.
That stuff used to not be. We bought them when we were little children, but not that they were popular at our home or anything, but they were not demonic like they are today. There's another thing that you didn't address tonight, and I have a question on that. Perhaps you want to comment on it, and the AMA is slowly caving into it, or at least in some part, and that is acupuncture. I thought maybe you
yes.
want to comment on that.
Yes, I feel that's another Oriental New Age, acupuncture and acupressure, which is many, many chiropractors are going into that. Just had one in Tennessee that confessed the pins in her ears being done for something that had happened to her. Yeah. And it's really hard. Somebody says, well, how do you find the right one to go to, and a chiropractor or whatever? And I think it's just good to question them out and ask them what they're into, what they practice. Yes.
If you, I have a question on that, and I agree with it, but I had went to one in Everett, and I think I knew that he had been in acupuncture, but the treatment, he had two treatments, and his chiropractic part of it was a good treatment.
Yes.
Now, can you use one like that and not be affected by the other side of it, or should you just simply stay away from it totally? Or,
yeah, I think it's possible to, if they refrain from practicing those New Age practices on you, that they could be used.
Yeah, he didn't insist at all. I didn't question him on it. I don't know if I knew it right at the time or not. I think I might have, but he didn't push any point of that at all.
Right.
I know sometimes they won't give you the treatment unless they can give you the whole package. But
yeah, some won't. Yeah. No, some locally won't, but others will.
That's
others
how I would have viewed it, you know, and I didn't feel like I was affected by the other side of it.
Right.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.